Blog Talk Radio.
Be advised, 93327 in associates with the suspect and the victim. West.
You are listening to another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Brought to you by Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement organization. Broadcasting today from Studio A. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy another evening of informative, engaging, and exciting news and information from the Private Officer Organization. All right, good evening, and thanks for being with us here on the Private Officer Beat. I am your host, founder, and CEO of Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement organization, Rick McCann, right here with you behind the microphone, and my trusty partner, Brett Davis, in the booth, handling all of the, what do you handle over there? Handling all of the knobs. He's in charge of the electronics. He's the guru behind it all. Glad to be with you tonight. We always say good evening and tonight and things like that, and I do get emails saying, why are you saying good evening when it's morning where I am, where I'm listening or where I live? And, you know, I apologize for that, but it is evening here in North Carolina where we're broadcasting from today anyways, and so good evening, good morning, good afternoon, good, whatever it might be. Glad that you're with us wherever you are, and hope that you've had a great weekend. Always lots going on. There's a lot going on here at the studio right now. You can probably hear the noise behind us here. We are preparing for a mini private officer memorial ride. We announced last week that we kind of had to sideline that because of a lack of funding. We have, through the support of some folks, been able to schedule a Southeastern mini memorial ride and a number of memorial services being held. And we really appreciate the assistance that we're getting, and we'll be announcing those stops coming up in the next week or so. We have had, quite a weekend and quite the beginning of the week, another weekend over, another week rolling right along. And as always, a lot of things happening in the news. Unfortunately, we've had a number of deaths over the weekend, and we have added 4 names to the memorial wall. 2 officers killed in the line of duty over the weekend, another off-duty officer killed, and a 4th officer that succumbed to medical condition caused by a work environment. We've had a number of security officers injured, shot, and stabbed also over the weekend. I guess one of the most horrific incidents to report this week, and certainly probably this year so far, was a situation in Miami, Florida, at an apartment where a security officer was patrolling an apartment complex in a company vehicle. This was late Saturday night. Robert Nelson of 50 State Security was on duty, a supervisor for 5 years with the company, and all of a sudden, a number of, I don't know if they're gang members or just dope heads, began firing at him. Security Officer Nelson came under heavy gunfire. More than 10 rounds were fired through the vehicle, and he was injured and crashed into a daycare nearby. He was then pulled out of the vehicle, shot again, and his weapon stolen. It's early in the case, and I haven't had a chance to speak with officers in Miami-Dade police yet, but I'd like to know how these thugs were able to get down on him without him either escaping or pulling his weapon and returning fire. It looks at this point to be an ambush, but we always preach officer safety, know your surroundings, and this is one of those situations where evidently that didn't work, but it's a tragic situation, and we've reached out to 50 State Security. If you're in the Miami-Dade area or any place in Florida and you have access to the management personnel there, please give them our condolences, first of all, but then let them know that we are here to assist them. Maybe there's something we can do to help the family of Security Officer Nelson. Definitely tragic. Just points to the fact that times are changing. Things are not the way they used to be. This is not your grandpappy security. And I was talking with an insurance provider today explaining that very thing. We were discussing the levels of risk and the percentages that risk and liability for private security in general has gone up over the last 15 years, even before 9/11, and how they continue to increase and why they increase. And the insurance carrier acknowledged that they have seen clients from many different states taking on more higher risk assignments, higher risk clients. Not just nightclubs, but also apartment complexes, heavy-duty patrols, civil enforcement, writing out tickets, all sorts of things, you know, that really puts the security officer more in a hands-on, proactive position rather than observe and report. And an article this weekend in California where a whole area of a city, I believe it was Oakland, which is a high crime area, is employing private security companies to patrol their neighborhoods because police can't quell the crime. They can't stop the crime, and they've turned to a number of private security companies to provide proactive patrols, both on foot and vehicle. And we're seeing this in a number of areas. Chicago, there's a number of security companies who have very heavy presence in certain subdivisions, gated communities, and different areas, providing really a more visible, proactive security than just somebody in a guardhouse or somebody walking a patrol. So, unfortunately, this is an area insecurity that is growing, and yet it's a high risk and high liability, as we talked of today with the insurance carrier. Also this weekend, Security Officer Bill Merrick, he worked for Citadel Security out of Nashville, Tennessee, and was assigned to Cumberland University under the direction of Mike Thornhill, the security director for campus security at Cumberland. We're sad to say that he passed away this weekend as well. He had a heart attack, was rushed to a local hospital, and unfortunately succumbed to complications from his heart disease. Frank Dobbs was also killed in the line of duty this week, and in California and the L.A. area. And like I said, we've had a number of security officers injured, stabbed, and shot. And, unfortunately, this is not going to get any better. And what really baffles me, it's just unexplainable. All the years I've been doing this, I have not seen much said or much activity from either security companies or governmental officials, governmental, federal, or state agencies. I've even spoke with OSHA last year. I spoke with U.S. Department of Justice. They know, they see the figures. But as far as enhancing any regulations or regulatory items for training or requirements that would be incumbent upon the security provider. It's just not happening at this point. I don't know what it's going to take. Obviously, 128 security officers killed last year wasn't enough for them, but we will continue doing our job and putting it in their face so that they can understand something definitely needs to be done. Or more Robert Nelsons will die in a hailstorm of bullets alone in a crime area, a crime-ridden apartment complex. Police did arrest a suspect in that particular shooting in Miami, an 18-year-old who was already out on probation. Figures, huh? And they are seeking three others, and hopefully they'll be able to capture them and bring them to justice, and maybe they'll spend the rest of their lives in prison. Or maybe their lives will be taken by the state. But hopefully justice will be done. Every 54.5 hours, according to the National Law Enforcement Association, a police officer is killed in the line of duty. Every 54.5 hours. Every 62.3 hours, a security officer dies in the line of duty. We're talking about 8 hours difference between private security and law enforcement. Every 54.5 hours, a police officer is killed in the line of duty. Every 62.3 hours, a security officer dies in the line of duty. As I mentioned before, the big difference here between the numbers, not so much the hours difference, but the fact that most police officers are killed in motor vehicle traffic accidents, in pursuits, bad weather, things like that. And another portion of them are killed during training exercises and events non-related to traumatic death, gunfire, things like that. Private security, almost 90% of all security officer deaths are in the direct face of traumatic injury, shootings, stabbings, trauma, blunt force, things of that nature. So that's the difference in our categories. And really, that's pretty substantial when you come to think about it. 90% almost of all security officers die at the hands of someone in a traumatic death, when less than 50% of law enforcement die at the hands of someone. These are figures that you need to get out to your community, to your coworkers, to your bosses, and to the politicians in your area. You should be getting these stats out to anyone who will listen, because it's important from a grassroots effort to get the word out until someone listens, until someone decides that it's time to better train, better equip, and to mandate things a little different. I know some folks think it's not a big deal. some companies say, it's not going to happen here. We don't foresee it happening. I don't think it's going to happen. It's never happened. Nothing's ever going to happen here. And unfortunately, those are the same companies I usually read about not too long afterwards. We have a great program that we're putting together to teach law enforcement academies. The first academy will be in Virginia, and we're working with the North Carolina Private Protection Board right now to get one in their state. And this is a class for law enforcement officers to be able to understand the changing roles of private security, the changing times, and also to work out some different criteria for them to work with private security, kind of teach them about the differences. Many people look at security guards and think they're all the same. We were talking with the insurance provider today about that liability and about the stigma with security, and he said, well, I know for a fact that every guard isn't just a guard. And he said that kind of in a chuckle way. He said, I understand that there are security employees that work at nuclear sites, and they're heavily trained and heavily armed. Security officers work in mobile patrol, alarm response, nightclubs, shopping malls, and they all have a variant degrees of responsibilities, duties, and risk, and certainly it's not the same as it was 30 years ago. Well, this program that I'm putting together and hope to be able to get into a number of academies and maybe even make it into a CD and send it out to many departments will show them the different levels of security, the training, the expertise, the qualifications, and how security should not be all lumped up in one category, and how they can work together to keep their community safe, and how a number of security agencies and loss prevention agents already do work and collaborate with law enforcement. I did a radio show about this a month or so ago, and since then I was contacted by several security companies and LP agents who showed me what they are doing. Again, in Florida, a group of loss prevention agents worked with a sheriff's department, and they arrested 48 shoplifters involved in organized crime. And it's not just shoplifting. We're talking about stolen property and drugs and so forth. And, you know, if we can put this course together and maybe even a CD and turn it over to law enforcement, maybe we can change some heads, some thoughts, and, you know, some practices of how they respond when a security officer calls and how they treat security officers, and maybe we can make a difference. I do want to mention tonight that tonight we'll be talking about, in our training segment, Uncharted Waters, a three-part series. We're going to be talking about those changing times, the company in part one, the client in part two, and the employee in part three. Things are different, and they might not be in your area, but they are different, and we want you to understand what actually is happening. And, you know, we'll be right back.
It's a very simple thing. It only takes 2 seconds. We all know we should do it. We all say we do it. But do we? About 35,000 people were killed in motor vehicle accidents last year. More than half were not wearing a seatbelt. A brother, a father, a mother, a best friend. Is it worth it? I lost a sister. Don't let it happen to you and your family. Tell the people you love to buckle up.
You're listening to WPOI Radio. Brought to you by Private Officer International. Don't go away, because we're coming right back with more news, information, and training. You are listening to another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network, brought to you by Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement organization.
All right, welcome back to the Private Officer Beat. Glad that you are with us tonight, wherever you might be, and I guess it's afternoon and morning in some areas, but we're glad that you're with us. We will be talking in just a little bit about the changing times, uncharted waters, and how we have to figure out as a company what we can and can't do, and as a client, what we can and can't expect a security company to do, and as an employee, what we should be willing to do and what we should be expecting, both on the job, from our employer, the client, and at the career. Because there's such a variance here. Also, I want to talk a little bit about the Private Officer Memorial. Again, we really need you to participate. We're always, you know, happy to be able to do a memorial service. We're willing to go anywhere, anytime. There's a lot of services that we provide, members and non-members alike. But if you could help us, it's not free. It doesn't take a lot of money, but it takes gas money, hotel money, lodging, food. Go to our website at privateofficer.com. Click on the banner right now and donate whatever you can to help us to make the rounds this year at the 2013 Private Officer Memorial. Now, I have a couple of radio shows that I'll be on over the next week and a half, and we're also holding several press conferences again this year announcing and talking about why it's important for the Private Officer Memorial Ride and why it's important for organizations such as ours to really support the fallen officer and get that information out there, because there's no other organization doing it. I anticipate probably half a dozen press conferences over the next 10 to 14 days and at least three radio shows that will be scheduled on. So if you would like to participate, maybe, you know, get us involved in your local media. I'd love to do interviews and really educate people as to what's happening in the security industry. I don't have to actually be there. A number of times I've done interviews with Skype, over the phone. You know, with technology being the way that it is these days, you can do it a half a dozen different ways with, you know, without ever being there. So there's no reason to be there, and definitely if you have any contact, any poll with any of your local media, please have them get in touch with me and set up an interview time. I'd love to talk to them about our organization and about, you know, the security officers being killed in the line of duty every year, more than 100. Let me see. There's a few things, a couple of announcements. We are hiring, and I do want folks to, you know, send resumes in to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. You can also call our help line at area code 804-269-6362, 804-269-6362. We are looking currently for special police officer instructors in Washington, D.C. We're also looking for a number of positions in Virginia for Armor College. We are looking for an adjunct instructor, and we're looking for an adjunct EMS, EMT instructor in the state of Virginia for Virginia Beach and Richmond. Again, go to our go to the phone, I guess, or go to our website. You can call 804-269-6362. We have a lot going on, and, you know, like always, we are always busy, and we're always looking for people to help us out and support the cause. We have a lot of things that we can offer, definitely a growing area. There's no other organization that provides the services, the resources. You know, I was talking to someone over the weekend about our news product. They've never seen any organization, not even the largest one, the largest security association, put out the type of media that we do and do it in such a expedient way. We report things almost as fast as local news, and that's because we have so many different areas that we pull news from and information, and we're able to get it out there very fast. And there's no other organization other than a newspaper or, you know, a TV station that does it quite like we do. Speaking of the news, I do want to mention our newsletter. For those of you already on our news email blast database, we have a new daily newsletter. It is looking pretty good. We will still be tweaking it. We'll be tweaking the font sizes and the colors and arrangements over the next few weeks. But those of you who have received it, please let us know if you like it. You can go to Twitter and you can tweet it out. You can Facebook us. You can do whatever you'd like to do because we are everywhere on the web. In fact, you can go to our website at privateofficer.com, privateofficer.com, and right there you can link to Facebook, Twitter, our own POI forums, our news blog. You can link to our press release page. Our new TV show will be broadcast weekly. It'll be streamed right there from the website. So we have a whole bunch of stuff happening. And you can check it all out 24/7 at privateofficer.com, privateofficer.com. And like I said, let us know how you like the newsletter or what you don't like about it. Send us an email also at helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Every day we're going to bring you the latest news involving private security and public safety, some videos. We'll also bring you updates on products. Over the weekend we gave you a story about some weapons being used in North Carolina with the Highway Patrol that were misfiring and causing problems, and we thought that very important that we got that out to you, so hopefully that helped somebody who might be using that weapon. But let us know. You can email us right now, in fact, at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. Send us your news items, your training events, promotions, anything almost that you'd like for us to announce. Send it to us at radio@privateofficer.com, and we will get that out for you. Also, now that we've got the newsletter, which is really going to be an interactive newsletter, now that we have that up running, the digital newsletter, we'd like for you to send us your pictures. If you have pictures of any activity that you might be doing, if you were out training or you came upon a situation or there was a shooting at a mall or you have some video, feel free to send that to us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We'll give you the appropriate credit as the originator, the photographer, and definitely it will be an exciting piece of media for us to be able to exchange our information and the information coming in from others, like I said, pictures, video, things of that nature. We're going to post as much as we can every day, and it'll be exciting because it will change every day. And it's a newsletter that is completely, completely 100% about the security public safety industry, which includes loss prevention, private police, campus security, hotel, hospital, all of that kind of stuff. But it's really exciting. There's a lot of things that we want to do with it. And, you'll just have to stand by and look at it every day and check it out every day. And if you are not on the email list and you'd like to receive it, just send a request over to helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We're going to take another quick break, and then we're going to take a couple of calls. Later on, we'll be talking about uncharted waters tonight. In part one, we'll be talking about uncharted waters for companies. Next week, we'll be talking about uncharted waters for clients. And in week three, we'll be talking about how it affects you, the employee.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this state.
All right, thanks for being with us here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. Speaking of buzz driving, for those of you living in the Southeast region, maybe even nationally, because it is a national program, but over the weekend, Booze It and Lose It, the national DUI campaign kicked off and is running here in the Southeast anyways. The Carolinas and Tennessee, Alabama, and another number of other states. And I believe it is a national campaign that kicks off the same time every year, but it is up and running. So if you are one of those who thinks a beer or two is not anything to worry about, you might want to start worrying because Booze It and Lose It campaign, many extra officers on the road, especially now through the end of the year, the holidays coming up, Labor Day, and, of course, Halloween is a big DUI week. I mean, you would never think that Halloween people go out and get drunk, that it's a big party week, but it is. In fact, Halloween is now the second most deadly day of the year. The first is New Year's Eve. Unbelievable. So don't drink and drive is the whole point of this statement. And, I just don't understand how people can drink, whether it be three beers or three quarts of vodka, and think that they can handle the vehicle. I mean, it's just, don't take a chance. It's like driving with a loaded gun. Don't drink and drive, folks. But check out the Private Officer Beat newsletter tomorrow. We'll be having more right there in the newsletter about Booze It and Lose It. And check it out every day for a lot of great stuff. A couple of other things I'd like to mention. I will open the phone lines for a minute if you'd like to call in. I know sometimes people are hesitant. I can tell right now that there are several people online. But if you'd like to call in, you can call in at area code 347-426-3807. Area code 347-426-3807. If you'd like to find out more information about memorial services or the private officer response teams, membership, training, whatever, we'll be more than happy to discuss that with you here on the Private Officer Beat. Again, the phone number is area code 347-426-3807. What I was going to say was that we have a lot of things happening, and sometimes it really gets to be too much, and we have to kind of put one thing on the back burner for a while. We do have a new college. We have a brand new Help Wanted section on the website. We're having to bring some people in to do some marketing. But what better place to put your Help Wanted ads than at privateofficer.com, where you'll be seen. You'll be seen by people that you're trying to recruit for a position. And right now, we have a great opportunity for companies looking to advertise for Help Wanted. Right now, if you place a monthly ad, you're going to get a second month free. That's a pretty good deal. I think they call that a BOGO, don't they? Buy one, get one? I don't know. I'm not into couponing. I'm not. Those of you who have wives who clip coupons, you probably could figure this out. But I think it's called BOGO, B-O-G-O, buy one, get one. So that's what we're offering. And it's a great place to post your Help Wanted ads. Check it out at privateofficer.com. It's also a great place if you are looking for a job. We are placing new ads on there every day, so check it out at privateofficer.com. Like I was saying, we have so much happening sometimes that it's hard sometimes to keep up with it, and we're always looking for good people. If you're interested in being part of one of our committees, whether it be the awards committee, the legislative committee, the membership committee, or starting another committee that we might have, please send your information to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We're going to answer the phones here and see what this caller has to say. Hello, you are on Private Officer B. Well, actually, I believe they've disconnected. If you'd like to call in, the number once again is area code 347-426-3807. Area code 347-426-3807. We are talking in just a moment about uncharted waters, the changing times in private security, and how it's affecting everyone involved, including the security agency, the client, and the employee. I also, before I get into that, want to remind you that we have a number of training CDs that are out, several DVD. We also have a number of new courses online, and be sure to check all that out at privateofficer.com. Privateofficer.com. If you don't see it and you'd like to find out if we have it, or if you'd like for us to produce a CD or a training for you, we'll be glad to do that. Send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. In fact, we have a caller. You're on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Greetings, Rick. Guy Libby here from Valiant Private Security out in California. How are you?
Hey, good evening, sir. How you doing?
Good evening. Good afternoon. Wanted to just say thanks. Thanks for doing what you're doing again. And the story about the officer down in Miami, what a terrible, tragic story, and what an important reminder for us all to be absolutely aware, just as you were saying, absolutely aware of our surroundings and to train up as much as you can. This is what we're up against. It's just becoming brutal out there, just absolutely brutal.
We have not had a chance to talk with the public information officer at Miami-Dade yet, but I plan on doing that tomorrow, getting more intimate details exactly what happened. I know from a number of news sources that it was a situation where he was just doing a general patrol. He had not had any confrontation or interaction with these people, and evidently they tried to rob him. When that didn't work, they began shooting at him. They put 10 rounds through his truck. And he drove out of the complex into a building, and they pulled him from the vehicle, beat him, shot him one more time, and robbed him of his weapon. So this was just a brutal ambush.
Just absolutely awful. And our hearts go out, of course, to the family that officer leaves behind. Just a terrible, terrible situation down there. But it is symbolic of the types of things that you're pointing out. Are coming about in our industry, with the numbers continuing to just mount every year as private officer is reporting. So very, very tragic. I encourage everybody to go and get themselves trained up as much as possible and take advantage of some of the things on POI. Very, very good stuff out there. And also, I want to say thanks for putting up the radio show on podcast. Don't always get a chance to listen. As you know, the demands of this trade can take your hours into places and times you never thought you'd have to go with it. But with the podcast, you really do make it convenient to catch the information, even if you can't listen to it while it's being broadcast on the Internet. So thank you again for that. Now, I don't want to take up much of your time because, yeah, I know you've got important things to talk about. But thanks again, Rick. Take care.
All right. Have a good night. Be safe, buddy. Always appreciate our members and listeners to calling in. And if you'd like to call, we have a few more moments. Area code 347-426-3807. We do catalog all of our radio programs, and we've always had them on the site. They're also available on iTunes and a number of other digital sites for download. And in fact, some of our better training has been now published onto some CDs and are available as well. We are going to take one more quick break. We're going to be talking about the uncharted waters for security companies, clients, and employees, and how really all of that affects each other in this day and age when the private security industry is changing rapidly in many areas. Not for everyone, and we'll talk about that in just a moment.
Listening to WPOI Radio, sponsored by Private Officer International. Now don't go away, because we're coming right back with some more news, information, and free training for you that you're not going to want to miss.
Sarasota County Sheriff's Office wants you to stay safe on the water this year. I'm Sheriff Tom Knight. Whether you're a beginner or you've been boating in Florida for years, operating at safe speed, wearing a life jacket, and avoiding alcohol will help keep you safe. Being out on a boat or personal watercraft is a lot of fun, but you need the proper safety equipment. Don't let a great day in the water be ruined by a bad decision. Go to Sarasota.
All right, welcome back to another live edition of the Private Officer Beat. Looks like we have another caller online. This one is from Nashville, Tennessee. Hello, and thanks for joining us tonight on the Private Officer Beat.
Hey, Rick. It's Mike Thornhill. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Mike. Good evening. How you doing today?
Well, good. Good. I just want to let you know how excited all of our members are in Nashville, and they're looking forward to each one of our chapter meetings and just look forward to what Private Officer has to offer us and everything.
Well, I really am glad that we've got such a great group in Nashville. And, you know, for those of you listening, you know, you might want to take some pointers. We've got a great crew in the Nashville area, and it is definitely a flagship for Private Officer International and for our chapters. And, you know, struggles come and struggles go. Things happen. But, you know, I think that, you know, the chapter really benefits overall from all the things that we can offer, the resources and training. But like I say often, you have to want it. You have to, you know, participate. And that's the great thing. We have great leadership in the chapter, and that's why things are going well.
Well, I appreciate that, and I just urge people out there in radio land to, if they're interested in starting a chapter, get involved with a private officer and start a chapter, because there's no better way to spread the word and get the training out to the officers. And I just want to call in long enough to say that, and just look forward to hearing your program tonight.
Thanks, Mike, and we'll be talking to you soon. Stay safe.
All right, see you, buddy.
Nashville is definitely one of our flagship chapters and one of our up-and-coming cities, and going to be a new location for Armour College in just a few months. And, of course, I've lived there for many years in the past, and it's a great city. And, you know, we don't have time to build offices, chapters, and keep after people to want to do things. It's like I told someone a few weeks ago, when you have a company and you open a new office 200 miles or 20 states away from your corporate office, if you don't have a good manager in that office, you know, the company won't work. Things won't get done. And the same thing applies to chapter management. You got to have good chapter management, and they have to want to do it and be involved. And thankfully, we have some great chapter leaders out there, and Nashville has definitely stepped up in the last 2 years. And I expect big things there. Well, tonight I want to speak on, you know, it's such a, you know, almost a vague professionalism or lack of professionalism that is really hindering private security. Security as a whole is a growing industry. I just read a figure that came out the other day, $550 billion industry for private security. While some security companies continue to operate in the 1930 and 1940 method, 1970 method, others have progressed. And still others have taken it maybe a little too far. So tonight, we want to talk about uncharted waters and how it applies to security companies. There are five areas that a security company has to really look at in these uncharted waters. When we speak of uncharted waters, we're really talking about the new age of private security and how private security is now used for everything under the sun. In talking with the insurance provider underwriter today, we were speaking how a security company was hired to stand guard and escort a high-risk federal prisoner who was released from prison for whatever reason, and rather than sending U.S. Marshals to babysit him, they sent private security agents. In Alabama last year, Auburn University hired private security to escort their football players downtown to the club scene and then back to their room to make sure that they did not miss curfew. Private security in Illinois, Ohio, South Carolina, and California, among other places, have been hired in the last 3 years to patrol all or part of towns and cities. In one community, a patrol service answers every single call, non-emergency call, that comes into the 911 dispatch system. They are dispatched to private security. These are calls that may be a barking dog, a parking violation, suspicious person, whatever it might be, as long as it's not life-threatening or an emergency. In those cases, the county sheriff's office is dispatched along with the security agency. So we're not talking about security companies being a guard at the gate. Access control will always be one of the primary responsibilities and duties of private security forever. It always has been, it always will be. But it's not the end-all and be-all of the private security, because the whole realm, the whole, you know, duties and evolution of security is almost limitless in this day and age, where law enforcement can no longer respond, no longer be responsible to police the way that they did maybe 15 or 20, 30 years ago. Another town currently contracts, and this is the town law enforcement, contracts with private security to respond to non-injury accidents on public street and private property and to write up the SR-22, the insurance form, and do the diagram and file the report. Private security is changing. And with that comes decisions that the security company must make. We are in uncharted waters. It's never been done before. Some of the things that we're having to deal with as companies, we've never had to think about because it wasn't within our realm of responsibility or duty. It was always up to law enforcement to handle those calls. Now it's up to us. A friend of mine in Virginia recently said that he called law enforcement because there was a disturbance. Police got there, and they said, "Why are you calling us? You have arrest authority there. If you think they need to go to jail, put them in jail." Who would have thought that law enforcement would show up telling security, "Hey, you got the same authority as I do here. Lock them up if you want them to. You know, it's your decision." times are changing. Uncharted waters. As a security company owner, I've got to decide. You've got to decide. Is this an area that we want to go into, first of all? We have to measure the risk, the liabilities to us as a company. What is it that we'll be doing? What type of extra training will I need to provide my officers? What type of risk am I taking as a company if I do this duty, if I do this type of new job? Security officers responding to even non-emergency calls for a town is high risk because anything could happen. Even in law enforcement, you get a 911 call. It's supposed to be routine. I think Joe's left his door open at the house again. He's done that before. Maybe the wind blew it open. Can you have an officer check it out? The officer responds non-emergency. No backup. It's routine. Gets there and it's a burglary in progress. Three armed men. A shootout occurs. So even though the security company may be contracted to provide non-emergency calls, non-emergency response, that doesn't mean that they're not going to find themselves in the middle of a gun battle, in the middle of a deadly force situation, in the middle of all hell breaking loose. There are at least two security companies in California now providing private patrols and drug eradication, marijuana eradication, in private forest areas where the sheriff's department doesn't go or can't go unless they're called. And they have, in recent months, both been involved in armed confrontations and apprehensions of marijuana growers. A security company contracted with a college campus in Connecticut back in 2011, unarmed officers, public safety officers, were given the authority to conduct traffic stops on campus property and issue tickets to students and written warnings to non-students. They were armed with a can of pepper spray, handcuffs, and a flashlight, and I believe they carry an asp. It was all supposed to be routine. They were running radar. And at 4:55 in the morning, just before they were scheduled to go off duty, they went off duty at 6 a.m., they were involved in a traffic stop that turned violent. We are in uncharted waters. So as a security company, we need to assess what the duties are, what equipment it will take to get the job done, what type of training, what caliber of people do I need to hire for this position, which is beyond anything I've ever done, and whether or not, and this is where security companies fall short day after day, whether or not I truly can get this job done, whether or not we're truly prepared, whether or not we're truly equipped, and whether or not I truly can finance the job, because it's going to take some money to get the patrol cars, to get the equipment, to hire more experienced people. And unfortunately, security companies always over-advertise. All you have to do is go to the website and, you know, put in security guard or security company in the search bar, and all these companies will come up advertising everything from bazookas to tanks to SWAT teams. Everybody's got it. I mean, everybody's trained to do everything. That's a bunch of hogwash. Neither are they trained, nor are they equipped or prepared. But everybody advertises they are, because we don't want to miss a chance of getting a contract. In these uncharted waters, there are hard decisions to make as an employer. one of the seminars that I teach security companies, and if you haven't participated or you haven't bought the CD, I urge you to buy it today. It's called Transitioning from a Private Guard Company to a Public Safety Agency, and what it takes to get to that next level. You see, a security company who's always had security guards cannot instantaneously all of a sudden have public safety officers responding to community service calls and high-risk incidents. It takes a different caliber of person. It takes a little different level of training. It takes different equipment. It takes a different mindset to be ready, to be prepared. And brother, let me tell you, if you take the contracts without considering, without assessing, without getting everything in, you know, all the ducks in a row, you're only asking for your people to be injured or killed in the line of duty. I hate to say this because we have a lot of security companies who are members of the association, but they're, unfortunately, security companies are liable much of the time when a security officer is killed or injured because they took a contract knowing it was a violent area, knowing it was a high-risk contract, knowing that the previous company had three armed security officers, and now they're putting an unarmed one man on the contract. What the heck do you think is going to happen? You're putting him out there to be killed. As we chart these new waters, these new duties, these new responsibilities, these new tasks, these new type of contracts, we need to consider every single thing and plan it along the way. Otherwise, you're going to run into that iceberg. You're going to run aground because you didn't chart the water. You just said, I'm going to just go ahead and fly by the seat of my pants. I'll just follow the sun. I'll just follow the moon. I don't need a compass. I don't need GPS. I'll just do it my way. My way gets people killed. We have a very exciting profession, and we're in a time and evolution right now like never before in private security. But are we truly ready? Are we really ready to take the ship from the harbor, from the area of safety, and run it through those uncharted waters? I dare say many companies are not ready. Next week in part two, we'll continue this about how to be prepared. We'll talk about clients. In fact, next week we have an extended radio program because there's a lot to cover. Until then, be safe, be blessed. Help us out with the Private Officer Memorial Ride. Go to our website and donate today. Until then, we'll see you back here on the radio.